I don't remember the past, so the only thing I can do is either curl up in a ball and let go, or choose to try something completely different. And so that's what I did.
Ladies, ladies, Women Thrive Live event is happening very soon in London. It's happening 5th and 6th of June, and this is our flagship event where you will want to be. Save your spot today because we have nearly 20 amazing international speakers who are going to bring some incredible subjects to the conversation. And this event isn't just one where you're going to be sit back and you're going to listen to a bunch of speakers. No, we want you involved. We want you conversating, we want you collaborating, building relationships, and also having an unforgettable experience. The event is happening in Notting Hill, an iconic venue. So you'll want to be there for the full experience. So make sure you book yourself the spot and also clear your diary for the 5th and 6th of June. We're so excited to have you there, and we can't wait for you to truly experience Women Thrive Live event in person. Look forward to seeing you there. Take care.
Welcome to Women Thrive Season 5. This season, you can expect incredible conversations with women from all around the world. We at Women Thrive, not only do we put on incredible conversations with women, host events, retreats, publish a magazine, publish books, and we have created a platform for every woman to shine and share her message. So you right now tapping into a podcast that is globally recognized as the place for women to be and share their message. Be inspired, be part of the conversation, and let's thrive together.
Hello and welcome to Women Thrive Podcast. My name is Rimwanda Jan and I will be your host for today's podcast interview. I have a lovely guest with me today whose story may just pique your curiosity and share a little bit about her story of reinventing her life. I think you may be interested in this story because it's not what you may expect. My lovely guest today is Jennifer White. How are you, Jennifer? Where are you joining us from?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm joining you from Ontario, Canada.
I am excited. As we got to know each other a little bit more, I thought, wow, what an exciting and interesting episode this is going to be. Jennifer's story is really about reinventing yourself after trauma, and that's what this episode is about. And I want you to get to know her. So Jenny White is a retired registered nurse with over 30 years of experience in ICU and trauma units and long-term care. And shortly after retiring, she survived life-threatening brain tumor surgery that left her comatose. Without her memories and having to relearn of how to walk and talk again, that journey led her to writing and becoming an author. And so today, she channels her medical background and personal story into medical thrillers. Her debut novel, The Triggering Scent, is available now on over 40 platforms at jennywhite.ca. And so today's conversation is really about uncovering her story and sharing a little bit more about her experience of overcoming this trauma and actually rebuilding her life. Jenny, I am excited to have you here. What prompted you to start sharing your story with the world, really?
Well, it's funny. I think it's actually the nurse that's sort of ingrained in me. One of the best ways to share trauma and to share reinvention is to just share. It's something I never expected would happen to me, but I know that I can still impact others and provide hope and perhaps a pathway that people can use to reinvent themselves or to change situations they would prefer to change.
Yeah, and we certainly no stranger to talking about trauma on our platform. We've talked about many things, but your story is quite unique. It's something that, it's not something that happens to everyone, luckily, but it happened to you, and you have had to, not by choice, but reinvent your life completely because you lost your memories. Tell us a little bit more about your experience and just what happened and why did you have to rebuild your life from scratch?
Well, to be brief, I discovered I had a brain tumor one day, and it was because I actually thought I was having a stroke, and you head into hospital to get checked, and they said to me, well, the good news is you didn't have a stroke. The bad news is you've got a large brain tumor that is in a really bad spot. And so it It was a tumor that was surrounding an artery in my brain, and it was basically squeezing the artery off. So it was going to kill me. There was no doubt. So the only option that I had was surgery. And of course, a nurse knows too much, which is good and bad. Good in that you know what's going to happen, bad in that you know what's going to happen, because brain surgery is not for the faint of heart. I also knew that I could potentially die on the table. And so I had to prepare my family for that in case it did happen. It was a dangerous surgery. Now, when the surgery was completed, I was in a coma, and that was unexpected. And the neurosurgeons were concerned because I was in a coma for about 3 to 4 days, and I didn't come out of it for a while. And I remember clearly waking up from the coma, but I was tied to the bed. And I knew as a nurse that, okay, I'm tied to the bed. That means I've done something I shouldn't have done. And what happened was that I had become quite combative as I came out of my coma. But they say nurses make the worst patients. They really do. And I kept that myth alive. So as I was coming out of the coma, I realized that the man at the end of the bed, who was in street clothes, was somebody I didn't recognize. And it turned out it was my husband. And he was quite devastated that I had no idea who he was. So that was, I realized right away, okay, I have a problem here. I don't know who you are. And I apparently had been married to him for 20 years. So that was a bit of a shock. So that was sort of how it all started.
Wow. How did you feel in that moment in bed and seeing this person looking back at you, but you don't know who they are? It must have been quite an interesting experience.
Yeah. The odd thing was I wasn't upset. I wasn't angry. I wasn't sad. I don't think I felt really anything at all. I just remember my brain processing, okay, this is somebody I should know, because my nurse brain was telling me that if there's a man at the end of the bed, he's going to be somebody important, because they don't just let anybody into the intensive care unit. And so I remember thinking, well, he's probably family, but I have no clue who he was.
But did you even remember that you were a nurse before this?
Oddly, I did. I did remember that I was a nurse. And it was like my nurse brain was processing what was happening, but my personal brain had taken a vacation. It was the strangest thing.
Wow, that's incredible. And how many years ago did this happen?
This was January of 2024. So I'm still in recovery in terms of I still have challenges that people can't see because I look okay, but I still have intense fatigue where I sleep a lot. I still have trouble finding words sometimes. And there are days when I just feel like I need to curl up in a ball and stay in bed. And I give myself permission to do that because that's part of the journey of recovery.
You mentioned before we came on that you really had to relearn everything. You had to relearn how to walk and talk and feed yourself. So tell us a little bit more about that journey and the process that you had to go through after the surgery.
Yeah, that was really shocking, actually. The nurse brain knew that I could have some deficits, so I had sort of almost expected something. But when they got me out of bed after like day four, I should have been out of bed day one, but because I was comatose, they couldn't. So when they got me out of bed the very first time, I had trouble walking. I had trouble sitting upright. My equilibrium was all off and I kept falling over. And I remember the nurses holding me up and putting a walker in front of me that I grasped onto, and my husband pushing the IV pole down the corridor as we went to my room. And it just felt awful. I remember I really had to stop and think, okay, my left foot, I need to move my left foot. How am I going to move my left foot? And I remember the nurses encouraging me, but having to literally drag me for the first few steps to kind of get my brain thinking in motion again. So that was shocking.
Wow. What do you know of your life before this internet? What was it like?
Well, the parts that I remember was being a nurse. I was a mother of a blended family, so two children of my own and three stepkids. And I remember certain things over time as I get feelings of deja vu or I get feelings of dreams, and I check them out. I'll say to whoever is around, did that happen, or am I dreaming that, or am I creating that in my imagination with my new brain? So there's a real disconnect sometimes. I've kind of chosen to just let go of the past. I'm not going to try and go back there unless the memories come to me, because I can't.
Yeah, and what's the life now? So what was the choices that you made now in your recovery, in kind of your reinvention season? What's Jenny like now?
Well, Jenny's different than the Jenny from before. My personality has changed somewhat, according to others, and I actually feel different. Things that I used to enjoy doing, things like sewing and quilting and traveling and that kind of thing, I have no interest in that now. So the Jenny now is a completely different Jenny, for lack of a better word. And I remember lying in bed as I was recovering, thinking, I've got a problem. I don't remember the past. So the only thing I can do is either curl up in a ball and let go, or choose to try something completely different. And so that's what I did.
What are the things that you're now building, doing, or made conscious decisions to create in this season of your life?
Well, one of the things that I had challenges with was speech. And so my speech therapist would come to the house frequently and we'd do work together. And because words weren't coming out of my mouth, just garbled sound, he suggested that I try writing words down. So when I first started, I could write a word down and it looked correct. It was spelled correctly and it was what I thought I was trying to say. So that was a good thing. So I had to rewire my brain between writing and speaking. And that disconnect was really frustrating. So I started actually creating children's books in my head and just writing down kind of storylines of what children's books might be. I couldn't remember my childhood. So I thought, well, why don't I just invent one that I think would be really cool? So I wrote a set of books and just used my imagination. One of the things that I did was I went back to being a five-year-old. I said to myself, okay, what do kids do when they're trying to figure out who they want to be? And I thought, well, they dream. They make games and they play and they use their imagination. So why don't I try that? So that's what I did. And I thought to myself, if I could be anything that I wanted to be, because I had an open slate to try, I always enjoyed reading and I always enjoyed medical thrillers in particular. And I thought, oh, I've got a medical background. That's something that I could use, probably if I can remember it. And I have this instinct to kind of write now. So why don't I try that? So after I had done the kids' books, I started to create stories in my mind about being back in hospital, and memories started coming back. And as I wrote, the more I wrote, the more memories came back. So not only was it a great tool to use for me, but allowing myself to dream and do something completely different in my life sort of took away any restraints that I had. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm just creating a new world around what I think I used to live.
But in that whole process, you, as you say, you completely reinvented yourself, your different personality now than you were before. And you seem to be having fun doing it.
I am having fun. And that's the other thing. I don't have to do this. If it's not working out, if I'm not having fun doing it, well, then I'll try something else. But I am having fun at this point. And people seem to be enjoying the book. So why not?
Amazing. Tell us a little bit more about your book. So the name of it is The Triggering Scent.
Correct.
What's the storyline in the book?
Well, my sort of log line, my elevator pitch is that a young nurse returns to work in the ICU after she has surgery, only to discover that her meth-addicted brain surgeon who botched her surgery is now working beside her, and she has to stop him from hurting anyone else, even if it risks her own career. So that's kind of the synopsis of the story.
Wow. Why the name, The Triggering Scent? It's quite interesting.
Yes. Well, as or you may know, with brain injuries, sometimes when one sense is lacking or challenged, other senses pick up. And so I used smell as her trigger, in that she realizes when she smells his cologne that he's somewhere in the area. At first, she doesn't know who's wearing the cologne, but then all of a sudden it becomes clear when he enters the intensive care unit to look after another one of his patients, and she's working there.
Wow. And it's based on pretty much your true story, right? What you've been through.
In a way, although I totally admit my neurosurgeon was fabulous and I did have a good outcome. He didn't do anything wrong. It was fabulous. But it was one of those, okay, well, what makes medical thrillers interesting is conflict and things that you wouldn't normally see in an environment. So I had to create some tension and some conflict and some challenges, like healthcare people being addicted to drugs and alcohol and those kinds of things, all things which I remember from working. There were people who struggled with those kinds of things. So I incorporated a lot of issues in healthcare that we all see today into the storyline to help inspire some discussion, raise some awareness, put up some red flags to say, ooh, I wonder if that really happens, and ask questions. Yeah.
That's so interesting that you're talking about. What do you hope the book to do? So now that it's out in the world and ask people to pick up and read it, what do you hope the outcome is as a result of reading the book?
Well, first, I hope they're entertained, because it is a story. Secondly, it does raise issues that people should be aware of. Things like short staffing, things like not having the proper equipment, things like working extensive hours without breaks and without support, violence in the workplace, simple things that you take for granted. That an example being a nurse, when she goes to work, she has to put her life on hold while she works her shift. And during that shift, she has to be so focused and so on top of things so that things don't happen in a bad or negative way. And you forget that we're all human. And because nurses are human, they have baggage with them. They might have had a fight with their spouse that day, or they might have just been left, or maybe they had a fender bender on the way to the hospital. So just bringing up issues that people should really think about.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when we are in a hospital bed, or if we go to hospital for any routine checks, we forget that these people also have lives, very personal lives, that's also affecting them. And whilst we may be in a particular stressful situation, that they are humans too.
That's right. And as nurses, we know people are vulnerable when they're in a setting like that, and that it is our job to be their advocates and to be on top of our game and to give our best care. But being human is what it is, and sometimes we have bad days, and having people throw things at us or yell at us or demean us is really challenging and heartbreaking.
Jennifer, this is a new chapter for you. You get to write a script. What are you writing?
With medical thrillers, I mean, like I said, I always enjoyed the genre itself, and it's something I can relate to because of my past, and it helps bring back memories. So that's a really good thing. And it's fun. And I'm hoping to share with people not only the books, but the journey that I'm on As I said, I'm still recovering. It takes years after brain surgery to really function at your best. And so I'm just trying to create a new me that gives back to the world, that brings me joy, that allows me to be expressive and have fun.
Yeah. We were joking. I said before we came on camera, I said, well, if you had any disagreements with your husband before this incident, all of that is wiped. So you get to start all over again.
Well, and that's been another journey in itself. So it's not just the physical and emotional correction, it's reestablishing relationships. So when I didn't recognize my husband at the end of the bed, he said he was quite crushed by that. He found that quite hard to accept. And as he looked after me at home and did everything for me, I mean, he really was an angel for me. We realized that we were living more like roommates than we were husband and wife, because he was giving me space to recreate myself. But I was so focused on myself that I forgot completely about the relationship. And so we've had some long discussions about how are we going to deal with this? Should we either go our separate ways, or should we struggle to see if there's something that we can continue? And so we basically have started from scratch. So we're back to dating. And even though we're married and we live together in the same house, we're trying to come beyond being roommates and reconnect on a more emotional level.
Yeah. Wow. That's so interesting. So your husband takes you out on beautiful dates, I hope.
He does. He does. We have made that a part of our ritual now. Every week we go out on date night, and then we always have a conversation first thing in the morning as we're having our morning coffee about what would we like to do today. And we work around each other's schedules and we find time to do things together. And that helps a lot.
What other unexpected things that you've have had to face in this new journey?
Well, it's very frustrating to not be able to clearly speak. And there are days when I can't put a sentence together. And it's the oddest thing. You think you're having a conversation with somebody and they're giving you a really strange look. And then I'll write down, am I making sense? And they're like, no, you're not making sense today. And I just have to accept that. And one thing that I've done for myself is I really have focused on self-care, because it's time for that. My kids are grown. They have their own world and their own work life and their own places where they live. And I need to focus on me and my husband and my world, and just take care of myself, give myself grace for the days when I don't do well, and push myself a little bit to try something new. And so that's where all of the book things are coming in, and I'm starting to do some speaking, and I'm being on different podcasts like this one to share the story so others realize there is hope at the end of the road. Yeah.
I think your story is so inspirational, and for you to be doing this, to take these challenges and turn it into opportunities to reinvent your life. And your energy is just so positive and so happy. Honestly, it makes me feel really emotional seeing just what you're creating in as a result of this adversity. You're rising again, and well, you've been doing it with a stride. So congratulations, Jennifer. I'm really excited for your book and just the work that you're doing now, even with those challenges in your life right now.
Thanks so much. That really means a lot to me.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. And I'm always in just beautifully, not even surprised, but admire women for their strength, really, for the things that we have to overcome, for just finding a new way of doing things and reinventing ourselves. And I hear many women reinventing their lives, especially in older age, as you may be transitioning out of a career or into retirement or out of parenting. We have to find a new identity. How did you
absolutely
you you having this new identity, like it's not the same version of you. How did you deal with the new identity coming to life?
Well, it was interesting. I did some research and I logged into some online resources that talked about changing and processes and aligning perhaps with your spiritual self. And I've always been a spiritual person. And I think as a nurse, you tend to be because you see so much death and life and challenges. And so I became very connected spiritually, I think, with my higher self, in that I've come to realize that my body itself is just a package. It's a temporary package, and it needed to be fixed, and it was fixed. But my being as a spiritual being, just having a human experience, has allowed me to kind of look at the bigger picture. So, for example, I personally believe that if the body fails, the spirit lives. And so I believe that you have control over your own spirit. And allowing myself to dream and be creative and use my imagination as an adult is so different than when we're kids. Because when you think about it, when you're kids, you have a limited knowledge of what is happening in the world. And you're creating playthings and stories in your mind. And what do I want to be when I grow up? But then as you get into the school system, society kind of puts boundaries on us and they say, okay, it's time to stop dreaming. It's time for you to get your education. And after you get your education, you go and you get a job and you start making money and you start spending that money and having families and all of those kinds of things. Well, if we allowed kids to live their passion versus put expectations on them, like, I think you should be a really good doctor. I think you should go into medicine. Those kinds of good meaning intentions may not be right for that person. And it's a struggle to find what you want to do. So as an adult, I gave myself permission to just be creative and come up with something that spoke to me. And that's where this all came in. So that was kind of my journey. I created a vision. It aligned with my value system. It brought me joy. And so I took baby steps every day to get to where I wanted to be. So 2 years ago, I was in a coma. I now have a book out, published. Well, that's pretty remarkable, I think. And I'm proud of myself for that. But it wasn't an easy journey. But I put my sights on it and I found a way to make it happen.
That's amazing. Jennifer, like I said, you should be so incredibly proud of yourself. And this is such a great story to share with others. So I do hope our audience are feeling inspired or motivated. And if anything, maybe just given hope in their own journey, in where they are, and maybe they're wanting to reinvent their lives with thinking, well, where do I begin? So this that you just shared now, it's almost your playbook of, okay, just align yourself to your values, align yourself to what brings you joy and how you can create from a place of creativity and joy and play and dreaming. And then I truly think this is where magic lies, because as you said, the world has told us, you got to get into the system, you got to do this, and we have to follow this path. And truly, we forget who we are, we forget what really brings us joy. And I think if you create from that place, it really makes a whole difference.
Absolutely. And that's one of the key messages that I want to promote on these podcasts, is that my reinvention was huge. It was massive. It was not by choice. You can choose to change any element of your life in any way that you want to, and you don't have to tell anybody. It can be a dream that you hold within yourself and give yourself permission to figure out a way to incorporate change into your life in a positive way. And don't worry about the naysayers. Don't, like, I had people who say, you're crazy to do that. Well, yeah, maybe I am. And that's okay. Don't let people tell you can't. Tell yourself that you can, and be gentle with yourself. and take the time to invest in yourself, because as women, we generally give so much of ourselves to others that there comes a time when you do have to take stock. For me, it was profound. For you, it can be something smaller and something that does bring you joy. And that's what I want you to hear.
Yeah, but it's life-changing when you put it all together. Small steps, small changes. When you truly align yourself to the purpose and the path that you're meant to be on, I know that definitely from experience, over time it's life-changing. And your quality of life completely changes when you follow the thing that you're meant to be doing in this world, not just we are told to do. So thank you so much, Jennifer, for sharing your wisdom and your inspiration and your story with our audience. I want to find out, how do people connect with you? Where are the best places to find you?
I do have a website, and it's www.jennywhite.ca, because I am from Canada. And yeah, if you go on there and if you join my email list, I do have a blog that goes out every day. And I am giving away my second book to one person that we find on the email list. So if you'd like to have that opportunity, put your name in and we'll get going on that.
And of course, your current book, where do people find it?
It's available on 40 different platforms, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble. All of the bookstores have access to it. So if you go to your local bookstore and it's not there, just ask them to please get it in, because it is available on Ingram. So you should be able to find it. And it comes in paperback, hard copy, and ebook. I'm currently working on the audiobook as we speak, so hopefully that will be available soon.
Amazing. I'm excited, actually. I'm going to go on Amazon and order it now, because I'm really interested to read it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Jenny. And to all of our audience, if you felt this inspiring or really touched you, please do make sure you connect with Jennifer, and all her information will be available in the show notes. Share this episode with someone you know. And of course, we are really looking forward to just share this episode with our audience. And hopefully you get the copy of the book. And if you do, reach out to Jenny and just let her know how this story has moved you. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here with us today. I really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.
To all of our listeners, thank you for being here. And do make sure you tap into other episodes at Women Thrive. And we look forward to seeing you again. Take care for now. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Women Thrive Podcast. I'm so thankful for you as a listener for spending time with us, myself and my co-host Abigail, to hear our conversations with our guests. If you have had the opportunity to hear our podcast, do make sure you leave a review and share this episode with your audience as well. This has helped us reach the 5 top percent globally ranked podcast, as well as reach more than 30,000 downloads to date. Your support means so much to us, and this is how we get to reach more people around the world. At Women Thrive Media, we're here to amplify voices of women and empower women to take the center stage and shine a spotlight on their messages.
Ladies, Women Thrive live event is happening very soon in London. It's happening 5th and 6th of June, and this is our flagship event where you will want to be. Save your spot today, because we have nearly 20 amazing international speakers who are going to bring some incredible subjects to the conversation. And this event isn't just one where you're going to be sit back and you're going to listen to a bunch of speakers. No, we want you involved. We want you conversating, we want you collaborating, building relationships, and also having an unforgettable experience. The event is happening in Notting Hill, an iconic venue. So you'll want to be there for the full experience. So make sure you book yourself the spot and also clear your diary for the 5th and 6th of June. We're so excited to have you there, and we can't wait for you to truly experience Women Thrive Live event in person. Look forward to seeing you there. Take care.